We've got John Eldridge from the Blue Lamp Trust who's just joined us this afternoon. Welcome, John.
Hello there.
And you're here to tell us all about the local Bobby Scheme. So can you tell us a bit about what the Blue Lamp Trust is and further what the Bobby Scheme's all about?
Yeah, the Blue Lamp Trust is an organisation that's based in Eastleigh in Hampshire. It's been going for about 20 years now. It's a charity. It's a non-profit making organisation. And within that organisation is the Bobby Scheme. And I am the representative of the Bobby Scheme on the island. Mm-hmm. The idea is that it provides free security advice for people living within their own properties. And we can fit certain things. And perhaps we could talk about that and give you some ideas
of the sort of thing I can do. Yeah.
Just say it is free. It's charity. One of the biggest contributors to our funding is White Aid on the island. Mm. And you'll probably see my van around, which has got White Aid written on the side of it.
Okay. Yeah.
Then we get a pot of money from Hampshire Constabulary, another pot from the Isle of Wight Farm Rescue and Hampshire Farm Rescue. Mm-hmm. And the actual service is provided within Hampshire and on the Isle of Wight. So there's four of me in Hampshire and there's myself working out of Ryde Fire Station for two days a week.
Okay. So what sort of support's available then?
It might be useful if I sort of perhaps talk my way through a typical visit, if you like.
Fantastic.
I do normally four visits a day, so I get about an hour and a half with each individual.
That's a lovely amount of time, isn't it? Mm. You're not in and out, you're really building that relationship.
We'll sort of go into it, but normally it's a walk around the house to get the occupant to show me around the outside and the inside, and then we look at the physical security and sort of some of the fire safety aspects. And then what I like to do is then sort of sit down with the person, walk and talk through some ideas around how to make things better.
Right.
Normally I have a cup of tea. Quite often I do like the odd sort of cake or biscuit thrown in.
Surely so. Not. Surely not. Yeah. If you could throw an odd pork pie and a sandwich, folks, that'd be even better. Yeah.
So I mean, and that normally sort of we can sit down. It's not a rushed visit. If you know what I mean. So
it's also a nice social event for that maybe that isolated older person. It's something to look forward to because you're bringing that idea of security with you, aren't you? You know, making someone feel really safe in their castle, their own home.
Right. I mean, my background is I did sort of 35 years in the police. Mm-hmm. I'm from the island originally, and I've retired and moved back to live on the island, so I'm actually based here. My colleagues on the mainland come mainly from the sort of fire and rescue services, so there's quite a broad sort of skill base, mm-hmm. if you like, but I tend to look at things more from a sort of police thing. So it's probably worth mentioning as well the sort of people that we will visit. It tends to be the people normally be over the age of 65, mm-hmm. Or have a disability,
right?
Or it can be that they're a repeat victim of crime. So if they've had continual damage to their property or something like that, vulnerable in some way, or a victim of burglary.
Mm.
And we also do.
So are you sort of tied in with victim support in that?
Yes,
sense?
We get referrals from victim support from the police. We do get. Well, on the other place, is domestic abuse victims, which sort of a bit out of the scope of this. Sort of, but if with the police, may well refer somebody like that.
Mm.
So Age UK quite often will refer people to us. It can be relatives, and people can self-refer, and the hope is that by putting the service out there again. There was a bit of a break in the service when my predecessor retired.
Mm.
I am getting referrals now from sort of Ryde, Sandown area, but I'm really keen for people out sort of West Wight to pick it up.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, we're not picking up that
much. Right, I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I mean, it's just one of it's just looking at the statistics I get.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of people from Ryde and sort of Newport, Sandown, but very... very few out where it's almost
white.
Okay.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, we've had that before with various other organisations as well, haven't they? That the West White seems to be a bit of a quiet area.
Yeah, a bit too far away it feels, but it's not at all, is it?
Well, no distance at all, no.
So, John, tell us, what can people do in their own home just to improve their security themselves? If they look around the house, what would you suggest?
Well, if we talk about the sort of things I'd look for. So if I turned up at your house, we'd walk around the outside, and it's going to sound really odd, but people might remember this, that I came onto the radio talking about security and then talked about onions. it's odd. In some of the training I had, they talk about layers of security. So if you can envisage an onion, and the bit of onion that you want to use for your cooking is the bit in the middle, which has got the green shoot and it's got the white fleshy stuff. But you've also got around it the sort of the crinkled brown bit. Mm. So you have to peel those layers off to get to the bit you want.
Right.
And if you can think of yourself, your family, your possessions that you feel are very important to you in the middle, the more layers you can put around you, the safer that it's going to be. It's going to take someone to get to you and to maybe walk off with the things that you want. So you start on the outside. So you look at your fences, your gates, whether there's a clear difference between the public areas and the private areas. So we start with the basic things like gates. If you've got gates, do you use them? Are they lockable? Your fences, how visible your front door is from the road. You don't want to be sort of having to hide behind bushes and things if you've got some nice surveillance from the outside so people can see the front of your house. Front doors, back doors. A lot of people think they're going to be burgled. It's going to be at night through the front door. Generally, burglaries are at the back of the house via the back door. So, you know, is it easy to get to the back of your house? Have you got gates? Do you know how to use your door locks? And I've been to quite a few houses where people have had new double glazed doors put in, where the type with the multi-point locking, where you have to lift the handle to lock the door and put the key in, and then you physically turn the key to lock the door. Quite often they'll just lift the handle and leave it like that. If the letterbox is in close proximity to the handle, it's not been unknown for people to pop something through the letterbox and just flick the handle down, and then you're in. So it's talking to you about and looking at making sure you can use the stuff you've got. If you've got outside lighting, check it. Is it working? Are the lights working? Are your locks working? A lot of it will be walking around with you and just basically going through what you've got, making sure that you know how to use it and that it's working properly.
Brilliant. Okay, well, hold that thought there. We've got to go into a bit of a break now. Okay, well, welcome back. And we're with John Eldridge from the Blue Lamp Trust talking about the Bobby Scheme. And we've just had a tour around somebody's house, and you've been pointing out all the kind of security issues, but you also look for a bit more than that, don't you?
Yeah, but the other thing that we do look for is the presence of smoke alarms. Making sure that you've got smoke alarms, they're in the right place, that they are within date. Quite a lot of smoke alarms will have a date range, normally between 7 and 10 years, after which they need to be replaced.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
To my shame.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Have you tested them recently? The manufacturers recommend you test them once a week.
No.
Once a week?
No.
Okay.
No, I've done that.
Little tip I picked up from a lady was that she does them every time she puts her bins out.
That
was quite good. The other thing that is worth, we do check for, is the presence of a carbon monoxide detector. They're not as popular as smoke alarms, but they're just as important. If you don't know what they are, they test the presence of carbon monoxide, which is a byproduct of combustion. So if you've got a log burner, an oil-fired central heating, gas central heating, anything like that, you should have one of those in the room. And it will alert you if there's a build up of gas. If you haven't got those, we will fit them, and we will fit them free. If you haven't got any smoke alarms, we will make sure you've got at least one working smoke alarm by the time I leave. So having looked around at those things, we then sit down with a cup of tea. We talk a little bit about how you would go out of your house, how you get out if the smoke alarm activated and you had a fire, making sure you've got an escape route. That type of thing. We'd also look about the type of equipment that I've got on the van, which I can fit free. The popular things that I've got are door viewers, which is a little lens that we put into the door, whether it's a wooden door or a UPVC door, at the right height so that you can look out and see if there's any who's at your front door before you open it.
Which is such a key thing, isn't it, with door stepping and, you know, tradesmen coming around unannounced.
Yeah, it's a way of dealing with your cold callers. You know, my advice is if you're not sure who it is at your front door, leave the door shut.
Yeah.
If it's important, they'll write to you, they'll phone you. We do fit door chains. The important thing we'd always stress with those is that they're not to be used at night. They're not an additional security for the door. They're to allow you to open the door and have a conversation with somebody at the door.
See, that's quite interesting as well, because you automatically assume you're going to stick it on at night and leave it on all night.
No, that's the wrong reason, because if someone had to come in, if you'd fallen over and your carers have to come in or your relatives, they can't get in, they've got to kick your door
in. You need to come around my, you need to come around my house. Never mind.
That's so valuable, that is, John. Yeah. Thank you.
We do have a way around that. We have one with a door chain with a key, which is a little device that allows you to, if you've got one of these people that has a key safe outside, you put the small key in with the key safe so that if you did inadvertently leave the door chain on, there's a little key which allows the chain to be undone from the outside.
I find that fascinating because it's really counterintuitive to take it off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think? I do.
Yeah,
I know.
But it does work against you.
Yeah, yeah, no, I can see that now you've said it. Yeah.
It makes absolute sense. Yeah,
it does.
So those are the sorts of things we would fit whilst I'm at the house, my hour and a half at your house, we'd fit those sorts of things. Another little trick we do is we've got some mirror tiles which we put up next to the door. If you've got a wall right by the side of your door, open the door with the door chain on to have the conversation. Sometimes you can't see round, so we put a small mirror on the wall and as you look into the mirror, and that will allow you to see whether there's more than one person at your front door.
Okay. Right.
So it allows you to control the door, and all the time you're controlling your door, you're increasing your safety.
Sure. Yeah.
And also what you're doing is increasing everyone's confidence, aren't you, as well?
Yeah.
You're giving them the little tips and pointers.
Yeah. And that's quite right, because a lot of the time the purpose of my visit is actually reassuring people that they are safe in their house. And the trick a lot of the time is to get them to use what they've got. A lot of people have invested in security over the years, and it's sometimes people, it's familiarity. You stop using things, you stop locking the door properly, you stop locking the side gate, you stop putting your bins away. You don't want your bins outside your gate because people can step on them and climb over. So you put, when your bins have been emptied, you put them back around the back.
Sure.
It's that type of thing. It's just reinforcing that sort of behaviour with people, and it increases their confidence in staying in the house. Another one that is probably worth mentioning is we've got these things called glass guards, which are a little battery-operated device. There's a lot of bungalows on the island, and there's a lot of people who are on their own through bereavement. And they feel very vulnerable, particularly at night in this hot weather when they have to open a bedroom window. So this little device, one of the things we encourage people to use is a thing called a night vent. Most double glazing, you can open the window about a centimetre and then re-lock it, and it allows you to ventilate the room with the window locked, but it's just an ajar thing. But if you really do want to open the window, we can fit the glass guard for you. It sticks on the glass, you flick the switch into the on position, and if somebody moves that window, this thing will go off like a smoke alarm. And it does really boost people's confidence.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So you can go to sleep in the knowledge that if someone tampers with that window or gives it a bang, it will go off, it will frighten them away, and you can go to sleep.
It's very impressive that you managed to do all this for nothing.
The whole service is free.
I find it a bit staggering, really.
There's one thing we do charge for, and that's the key safe, which is a slightly larger one that you generally see because its resistance to being broken into is higher. You know, a key safe will always say, here's the keys to the house.
Yeah.
And you want one which, you know, this one we're confident would take quite a lot to get off the wall. And that's the only thing we charge for, and that we sell at cost.
And we also have to kind of repeat, don't we, that we're not scaremongering and we're not saying, you know, there's a whole scary world out there. It's just being confident in your home so you sleep well at night.
It is, and that's one of the things I always stress, because the other thing I do is quite often we'll go around to sort of small groups, coffee mornings, that type of thing, and just to chat to people and then show them what we do. What I don't want to do is finish here today, and some people think that you know, the crime is rife on the island. So I love the island. I was born here, but I worked away on the mainland, and I can tell you that the crime on the mainland is significantly higher than it is on the island.
Yeah, sure.
And whilst, yes, we do get crime, we do get a low level of crime, it is still an incredibly safe place to live.
Mm.
That said, it's always worth just reviewing your security.
Yeah.
Thinking about how you look after your house, how you lock your house when you go out, how you deal with it at night when you go to bed. And that's what we're there to do. We're there to help you. And fitting a few extra little bits and pieces can obviously boost that level of security. And also talking to you about how you would deal with middle of the night, smoke alarm goes off, you've got a fire.
Yeah, well, that's quite interesting, actually. So what would your advice be there? Yeah.
It's got to, you've got to remember that when that smoke alarm goes off, the probability is that your lights aren't going to be working. You've got to work through in your mind how you're going to get out. The probability is it's going to have started in the kitchen.
Mm.
How are you going to get out? Have you got a torch? Have you got a telephone that works? Because if a lot of the telephones, the walkabout BT style ones, don't work when the power goes off. So that's where your mobile phone comes in.
Yeah,
make sure you can use it. Has it got a signal? Is it charged? Can you get out of that house quickly and safely? If you can, get out quickly and safely. If you can't, then it's a case of putting the duvet along the bottom of the door, close the door, and then you've got to use your phone. Stay on the phone, tell the fire brigade where you are. You know, we're lucky on the island, we've got a good, quick response rate from the fire service. If you're in the back room, tell them you're in the back room. If you've got any mobility issues, which means that you can't get out of your house, you need to contact the fire service, and they will come out and do a proper fire escape plan with you and make sure they know where you are in the house, which is another thing we would encourage people to do.
It's the kind of thing we take for granted, isn't it? You kind of think, well, I've got my smoke alarms up there. I've not checked it for the past year, and it'll not happen to me.
Yeah. Or I took the battery out because it was beeping while my chips were cooking.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why the new ones have got sealed for life. You can't take the batteries out.
Yeah.
The new ones now, if they do go off because you burnt your toast, you just give it a poke with your umbrella or your walking stick without knocking it off the ceiling.
Yeah.
Just give it a poke, and then it will mute it for 10 minutes, allow you to ventilate the house.
Right.
But you need to make sure that it hasn't gone off because of there is actually a fire.
You see, now that just shows how terrible I am, really, because I've still got a battery that must be really old and probably past its sell-by date.
It should, if you take it off, take it off, and it will have the sell-by date on there.
And then
look at replacing it. The other thing we would, as part of your fire plan, is we would talk to you about the sorts of electrical items you leave switched on. People are we're all guilty of it, your phone's charged, you unclip the phone, you leave the charger switched on at the wall. Very bad idea.
I'm so full of bad habits, it's untrue.
If you feel that charger, it's probably quite warm.
Yeah.
Generating heat.
They do
get hot, don't they? Trust in the appliance, but you shouldn't, should you?
No, not, if it's not one that's come with a phone, you don't know where it's been made, if you bought it cheaply off the internet or something.
Yeah.
So, turn them off. If the appliance is designed to be left on standby, you're normally pretty safe. So things like TVs, stereos, that type of thing, radios, you're okay. But things like chargers, kettles, they've had a few fires on the island which have been attributed to faulty kettles.
Oh, okay.
The ones where the base, it sits on the base,
it
leaks, it drips onto the electrodes.
Mm.
Toasters, make sure you pull your toasters away, out from underneath the cupboard.
Yeah.
If the toaster goes up because of all the crumbs in the bottom, we haven't cleaned it out.
Cover goes with it.
Cover goes with it, and then you end up calling the fire brigade.
Yeah.
So those sort of things would be part of my walk around with you.
So basically, you're going to do a complete redesign of everybody's house and say, "No, move that there, and move that there, and move that there." And I mean, actually, it's probably not a bad thing in some cases.
Yeah, it's advice.
Yeah.
It's up to you what you make of it. When
sure.
I've gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But hopefully, people will always take something away.
Yeah.
Which will make them safer in their house or more confident to stay in their house.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, we're going to go into another break now, so we'll have a quick break, and then we'll be back, and we'll find out how we can get you to come and do all our jobs for us.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, well, we're going to have Dave Edmonds singing the blues, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back. John is with us from the Blue Lamp Trust, talking about the Bobby Scheme, and we need to get in touch with you, John.
Yes. One of the things we were talking about off air just now was the sort of fire prevention. I just wanted to throw this in as well. We'd also look at where you plug stuff in. The Christmas tree that you get from sort of the block connectors, where you put about 5 plugs into one socket, type of thing.
And then you add it onto an extension cable.
That's right, yeah.
Is that quite bad then?
It is, because it can overload the circuits. They can get hot. Also, you're causing a trip hazard as well. And we talk back to your fire plan. As people get older, they can't see so well if the lights are out and you trip.
Yeah.
It adds to the risk. So we'd also look at perhaps helping you to reroute some of those. And there are services out there that I can put you in contact with if you really are struggling with only maybe one socket in a room and you've got medical equipment, that type of thing. So, again, I can always help out with that. So getting in contact with us is really easy. It's a case of just picking up a telephone. it can be you can self-refer. Or you can refer on behalf of somebody else. So it could be that you've listened to this and there's a relative you think would benefit from a visit. Also to say that if it's a relative in Hampshire, in the county of Hampshire, this service is available for them as well. So the telephone number to ring, it's a free number. It's 0300 777 0157. So that's 0300 777 0157. That'll put you through to the Blue Lamp Trust office, and one of the girls there will talk to you about when you want to book the visit in. You'll get given a time slot, and I'll give you a quick ring half an hour before I turn up, just to say I'm on my way.
Do you also visit local groups as well to spread the word?
Yes, this first time I've done the radio, but this morning I was at a small group that met in Shanklin in the Methodist Church there. Small face-to-face meeting for half an hour, 45 minutes, because it gets the message out there, and that's the important thing. Yeah, this is a free service, everything's on the van, I'd blowing my own trumpet, but I think that everybody I've been to so far in the last sort of 7 or 8 months has always had this positive experience, and it's made them feel safer, and they've physically been safer in their house. So yes, I actually quite enjoy that, because I get to meet lots of really nice people, and sit down and have a cup of tea. So if you've got a group, or no matter how informal it is, then please ring up the office. Explain to them that you'd like me to come and have a chat, and I will do that.
Brilliant.
Wonderful. And before we sign off, I would just like you to tell our listeners at home, just, so they get a picture of you, tell us what you've driven in on today.
I've actually come in on a motorbike. I do have a van. I've had a bit of a midlife crisis, and I've gone back onto a motorbike.
But it's a very special motorbike.
Yeah, it's a Triumph Bonneville, and it's black. And it's noisy.
And it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful little beast. It's a bit of a baby for me.
Yeah.
It came from unfortunately, I had no intention of buying it, but I drove past the shop in Newport and ended up buying it.
Was it love at first sight?
It was, and I've got to say, my wife did support me in the purchase of it.
Yeah, well, you're not alone, because I'm exactly the same with guitars.
Your guitar collection is extensive, isn't it?
Yeah. But so I would, when I come to see, if you do book me a visit, it will be in a white van, and it'll have the Bobby Scheme written on it, and I'll be in a uniform. The only reason I bought the bike today was because it was a lot easier to park.
Lovely. The wind in your hair and all that?
No, I've got a crash helmet.
See, he's a health and safety man.
Yeah.
Wind in the hair.
Yeah.
Old school.
Really fantastic advice today. Yeah. Thank you so much, John, for joining us.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, actually.
Thanks for inviting me along.
No, you're welcome. I'm going to go home and do a bit of a survey, I think.
Me too.
How old are you?
I'm 67.
Well, so I could come and do a visit.
You could, that's true, yeah.
We could talk. Qualified, John.
We could talk bikes, can we? Yeah, bring your bike here, never mind the van.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one little off-the-wall question? It's a bit random, but we were talking about plugs. What do you reckon of these new smart plugs? Do you think they're anything of a hazard? That you can control with your voice-activated device?
Yeah, I've not had any real hands-on experience with them, but I guess if you're buying them from a reputable supplier, like a mainstream supplier. Mm. I think I'd be a bit concerned if it was you didn't know where they were coming from. Yeah, it was just an internet supplier. I think that's part of the problem. If it's a mainstream supplier, I think you're okay.
That's right. I'm reassured then. Because I love them.
there is a security. A lot of people have them because if they're late home, they can turn the lights on in the house.
Exactly.
And make themselves, again, it's that ability to sort of make people think you're at home.
Yeah. So I have done that when I've been on holiday and for a couple of days and my neighbour is looking after the cat, but the cat's still in the house. I can turn my lights on in the evenings remotely to keep the cat company.
Yeah, and you can see your dog and things like that, with the little cameras.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice. See what they're up to,
Bit of a side there, but I just thought I would. We've come to the end of our show.
We have indeed.
Yeah, so thanks ever so much, everybody, for listening. Thanks for coming, John. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And Laura and I will be back next week.
We will indeed.
Talking all sorts of inane rubbish, no doubt, but it's all good fun, isn't it?
It's all good fun.
Going to leave you with Lewis Capaldi, and we'll see you next week.